Welcome to your internet audio trip across the country, the 2K Way, a fact-filled 30 minutes of people, product, and lakes from coast to coast. And now your host, MC Ray.
Welcome to another edition of the 2K Way. For those that haven't listened, basically what the 2K Way is we are taking a trip across the country talking with different members of the 2K crew. Today we're going to, let me see, where are we going today? We're going to Georgia, and we're going to talk to J.C. Adams. You there?
I am, yes. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for being on. Why don't you give me a little bit of background on yourself, how you got into tournaments, and what your goals are, how you got started, what you're doing now, series you fish, and where you look, where you hope to go with this fishing thing.
Okay. Well, I got started when I was 16 years old. I joined a group. It's a local group called the Kelton Bassmasters, and I just joined as a co-angler, and got on the back of some bass boats and started going around that way and just trying to kind of learn everything I could. And it just kind of escalated from there. A buddy of mine got a bass boat, and we fished some of the trails around here now. Fished the Boris Trail, fished the Freeman's Trail, and I just have joined this year with the university team for the college, University of West Georgia. So that's kind of what I'm excited about, what's going on right now. But we also fish a lot of electric tournaments, which some people call them John Boat tournaments, but that's kind of a big part of what I do on my own is John Boat and the electric scene. And we also fish all the bass boat tournaments on the side. So,
electric tournaments,
as far as, go ahead, Jeff.
Oh, you were talking about electric tournaments. It's just a John Boat with an electric motor?
See, a lot of them have John Boats, but in our club, we fish West Georgia John Boat Anglers. We actually have guys, for some reason or other, we have one guy that fishes out of an $80,000 Ranger with two power poles and a 250 amp back. But, yes, if they can only use the trolling motors or an electric engine.
Oh, wow, okay.
We had two guys in the club that were actually featured on the 5x3, the center stage they're doing now.
Okay.
And they were in our group, and they were the ones that caught. We weighed in three fish last year, and they caught a 27-pound three fish one.
Wow.
So that was kind of a. He had a 15.88-pound kicker, and we all mess with him now, tell him he's famous. But that's kind of our little group's claim to fame, I guess you could say.
That is a serious kicker fish, a little over 15. Man, that's big.
He was a big fish. I actually didn't fish the tournament he was in, but I drove to his house after the tournament just because I wanted to kind of lay eyes on something like that for myself.
Right. Now, you said that you're on the, or you joined the college team?
Yes, sir, I did this year. It's the University of West Georgia. And they're in their third year now, or their second or third year. And got hooked up with them and some good guys in the club. And we're still kind of working out the details of who's going to fish what. But this will be my first try with that.
Well, that's a good deal. I heard I hear a lot of good things about the college trails and what the bigger events are trying to do and help them with growing the college, the sport in the colleges, and now it's dropped down to high school. I think it's a real good thing myself.
Well, I do too. You know, I've kind of tried to follow it for as long as I've seen it, and you kind of can tell that since they've upped the prizes, and you know, now of course the winner of the BASS championship gets a slot into the Classic. You know, you can kind of tell the level of competition has gone way up in the past few years, and they think it's helping the sport grow a lot.
What's your favorite home lake?
My favorite home lake, I'm going to kind of switch it up there with one of our electric lakes. It's a lake called Lake Seton. It's 880 acres, and it's just an electric-only reservoir, and you know, it takes a few days to get around it with trolling motors, but it's a really good lake. It's full of spotted bass and full of big largemouth, and I live about 25 minutes from it. You know, it's a place that I spend a lot of time, sneak out there in the evenings and stuff. I'd say that's my favorite place to wet hook.
Okay. What's your favorite away lake?
Well, I don't know if that's Lake Eufaula. We actually fished a barn trail tournament there last year and ended up winning it there. And it's, to me, that's a good place. It's got grass, it's got ledges, it's kind of got a little bit of something for everything. So if I'm making a drive, that's where I want to go.
All right, bass boat. Do you own a rig yet? If not, what do you generally, I think you said your partner picked one up or something. Why don't you talk to me about what you generally fish out of, or you can break down your John boat with the electric motor. Is that set up with graphs and the good stuff, or talk to me a little bit about that.
Okay. My boat is a Boston Whaler. It's one of the 13 sports. And I actually took it, and I had a built-in deck put in, and it just had a live well built in, and just had the entire boat decked off except for a small slot in the middle just to kind of help with stability and everything. And what I'm actually running, it does have the grass. I've got a Hummingbird, I think it's the 898 beside him here, and I've got a 46 boat, the motor guide on front, and a couple of the Verimax 75s on back. And it's a small boat, but we try to kind of fit everything we can in it. I guess in total I've got 9 batteries, and you know, we get 2 of us in there. We'll have 14, 16 rods and 2 tackle boxes, and it just turns into a big old show.
9 batteries?
9 batteries.
Wow. What's your favorite method outside of a 2K product?
Outside of a 2K product, I guess my favorite method would be just anything having to do with offshore fishing. I'm certainly not the best at it, but it seems like to me those guys kind of wake up with 15, 16 pounds in their back pocket. So I like throwing a swim bait a lot. I'll throw a Kytec, one of the swing impact fats, deep cranking, anything like that. It's, just trying to stay offshore and trying to find the bigger schools of fish would have to be my favorite method.
Okay, so you're offshore, other than flipping a jig or dragging a jig out there in deep water. What do you think, crankbaits, running deep spinner baits? What do you think you would lean towards?
Yeah, that's actually what we've been doing this entire winter. I've been throwing a Strike King, one of the bottom dweller spinner baits, just a 3/4 ounce. And we'll throw a swim bait, like I said, the Kytec, the swing impact. And I'll throw it on just a half-ounce Buckeye swim bait head. But, I'm ashamed to say I've actually been throwing an Alabama rig a little bit here and there.
Oh, shame on you, man.
I don't like admitting to it, but I have been throwing this time.
Well, what I'm learning with that is if other people are throwing them and winning, and you want to win, and that's what the bite is, you're going to have to throw it. Myself, I will just take the loss. I personally refuse to throw one, but that's just me, you know. And I know a lot of people out there don't like it, but they do throw it because if they want to compete at all at certain times, that's what has to be done.
Well, that's very true. I think, especially when it came out and when it hit the market, it seemed like every boat you saw was swinging one or two of those things. But now around us, it's kind of died off. And, you know, I still don't catch them as good as everybody claimed the lure would be. But if you can get the right, I think it's like anything else. You know, you got to get that right situation, and it's going to be another tool to throw.
Yep, agreed. Agreed. Okay, let's jump to 2K. What's your favorite 2K product?
Well, I thought about this a lot. I was going to say the Red Zone football jig, because I absolutely love it. But here lately, I've been throwing a Dock Monkey, just a half-ounce Dock Monkey. It's just such a versatile lure. I think it's tough for that me not to say that's going to be my favorite.
Okay. Tell me about the gear you use for it, then. Walk me through your rod, the reel, gear ratio, the line you use, if you do a fluorocarbon leader. How are you rigged up for throwing the Dock Monkey?
I throw mainly ducket rods, and when I'm throwing the Dock Monkey, and especially on docks, I'll throw it on a 7-foot heavy action ducket micro magic rod, and then I'll use Abu Garcia, one of the Revo the SX, the Gen 3 SX, one of those reels. It's a 7-1-to-1 gear ratio. And mainly, especially up around docks, I'll use 100% fluorocarbon, either P-line or Seaguar, usually 17 or 20-pound test. I like the fluorocarbon. I think it, when you're skipping the jig, I think fluorocarbon acts a little better once you get it set on a spool good, and I definitely like to add the sensitivity and everything like that. But mainly that'll be the main rig I throw it on. If I get around grass or something like that, I'll throw it on a 7.6 heavy ducket Micromagic, and 50-pound power pro braid.
Okay, let me ask you about your fluorocarbon. What'd you say, Seaguar?
Mainly Seaguar, and it's just one of those things. I like the P-line fluorocarbon a lot, but being a college angler and kind of trying to be on a budget, I'll throw the Seaguar Red Label and just go up to the 20-pound test, to get away with $11 a spool instead of $26 a spool.
That's what I was going to ask you, is which sub-brand did you throw of the Seaguar? Because me personally, I religiously throw the Red Label. That's what I throw. I throw 15, 17, and 20-pound Red Label across the board. I love the line.
That's it. I'm right there with you. I try to wait until I know Taco Warehouse every year does the Christmas time sale, and I'll wait and then buy, 7 or 8 of those 1,000-yard spools, and that seems to be the trick for that Red Label. It's good stuff. I like it for the price, especially.
That's what I was getting at on that Seaguar. I want to know which one you use, and I'm glad to see another Red Label user out there. It's good line, guys. Give it a try if you haven't. When you're flipping this Dock Monkey, what are you looking for to say, okay, I'm going to bend down, I'm going to pick up the Dock Monkey, and this is what I'm going to throw?
A lot of times I'm looking for the different docks. When looking for the docks, of course, but to go to a jig instead of bouncing a square bill or something like that, mainly it's just the water clarity. I think I like stained water. I kind of try to run to stained or muddy water if it's not cold. Something about that seems to me you can put a jig in there and you don't have to be as finesse with your approach. And, you can just skip it around and get in places where others can't. And it seems like they'll get bit 9 times out of 10. So that's mainly, I look for just the water conditions, but I try to also find the docks. If they've got brush or something like that, that's even better. Better reason to go with a Dock Monkey. It comes through the brush, really well.
Gotcha. Now, do you throw that thing offshore, the half-ounce Dock Monkey? Do you throw it offshore at all?
I don't throw the Dock Monkey offshore. That's when I'll go to the Red Zone. I'm sure I could throw the Dock Monkey offshore, but I'm kind of a jig freak, I guess you could say, and I've got boxes and boxes of those Red Zones, and I love throwing them offshore, the big football heads.
Okay. Water conditions, you were talking about. Okay, let's jump offshore now, and let's jump to the Red Zone. What are you looking for on the graph on the bottom in the water temperature? What are you looking for that's going to tell you, hey, I want to pick up the Red Zone versus a crankbait or this or that? What are you looking for in that?
The main thing, really, the big thing about a jig is I'm not too worried about the temperature. They'll work from winter, spring, summer, fall. I like rock, and when I find rock, that's when I do well with a jig, whether it be a long underwater point or a channel swing or a leg, something along those lines. I'm looking for rock, and I'm looking for brush, and especially if you find brush piles or something like that. A lot of guys have success with a crankbait, bring them into brush, but with me, I'd rather crawl a jig through it. I think you lose a lot less lures. It works out a whole lot better for me if you find brush and rock or just brush by itself.
Okay. Now, trailers. What do you use for trailers? I want to talk about both of them with you, or unless they're the same. So let's go to the docks, and you're throwing your half-ounce Dock Monkey. What are you looking for in your trailer? Do you switch your trailer up? Do you make some changes in it? Do you modify the jig a little bit? What do you do to that Dock Monkey in the trailer?
Really, when it comes down to the jig by itself, I don't modify it. And that's one of those things. That's the first time I've been able to say that from buying a jig. And what I mean by that is normally, which everybody knows, you buy a jig, you've got to mess with the brush guard, you've got to mess with the skirt, you've got to play with this and play with that. But that's one big reason I've stuck with 2K and throwing the custom kicker jigs is they're pretty much good to go right out of the box. As far as the trailers go, I like to throw D-bombs, the missile-based D-bombs, especially around docks a lot. Or, you know, in the summertime, I'll switch up to a rage crawl just to try to get a little more action out of it. But on the dock monkey, that's pretty much the two baits I'll throw the majority of the time.
All right, walk us through the red zone now.
The red zone, it depends a lot on the lake. You know, that's where the water clarity comes in and how much action, you know, the time of year, how much I'm going to need. I like the rage crawl out deep offshore again. I've gotten into lately, I think it was Brent Chapman when he won Toledo Bend, throwing the full-size brush hog on the back. That's kind of my new obsession with it. What I'm trying to get into is throwing the full-size brush hogs on the back of the red zone.
That's a big bait.
You know, that's one of those things, you know, I'm having trouble starting the day doing that, but if you can get a limit in the box and want to get that kicker, I start trying to go to the full-size tubs.
Let's talk about the 2K, and you said you're kind of a jig freak, so you have a little bit of knowledge in this. What do you think makes the 2K jig a little better than a Brower, a Hackney, a Height, Strike King, you know, our big box stores, these other brands? I mean, if we take and lay them all out on a table, what do you think people are going to pick up on when they look at these jigs, when they pick them up and they notice them? What do you think they're going to find?
I think the first thing you're going to see is just the quality of the build. And, you know, I don't think a bad jig has ever come out of Custom Kickers Warehouse there. It's the details. And people that, I'm sure you know, people that throw a jig a lot, it comes down to little details. And you don't see the common mistakes with the 2K jigs, which, I mean, whether it's the brush guard or the skirt, or you know, that's another real big issue is the skirt. And you know, I cannot stand personally a banded skirt, or you know, just one of the old rubber bands across some skirting material, and that's, you just don't get that, especially the rubber jigs, the 2K, the copper wire tie. You can throw those jigs for 2 years, it seems like, and you're not going to have a problem with a skirt falling down or a brush guard coming out or anything like that. But the second thing I like about 2K, and it's really important to me, is just the customization. You know, you can call them, and it seems like any color you need made, he's got. He can make up for you. He's been working with a crawdad color that he made up for me, and it's just, I tell you, I got it in the mail, and I actually called him, and I said, you know, I don't even know if I can fix this. I said, this belongs up on the wall somewhere. Yeah, it's just, it's night and day difference, it really is, and I'm not real big normally on saying that. You know, I'll go with the cheaper lures or the box name lures or something like that and make them work, but it's just such a night and day difference with 2K jigs, you can't ignore it.
What's your best experience with a 2K product, whether it be, you know, the 2K put the final fish in the boat, or your biggest, what's your best experience with a 2K?
Well, my best experience with 2K, it actually has nothing to do with fishing.
Okay.
I love fishing the jigs, but to me, it's the crew has been great, and on top of that, it's something I tell people when I'm trying to talk to them about 2K, and there was actually a guy at our last tournament, and he was a big thrower of Strike King jigs, and I told him, I said, well, let's do something. I said, just for fun. I said, you pick a color you want of a Strike King jig. I said, and I'll pick a color I want of a 2K jig. I said, and let's see how long it takes each of us to get the CEO of the company on the phone. And he just kind of looked at me, and I said, because I'm pretty sure I can get, you know, Dan on the phone here in the next 10 minutes. I said, and, you know, that's what I love about it. I'm a nobody from nowhere just trying to make it in the fishing world. but you still get treated. I mean, it's like you're a professional angler. You get your custom colors, you get your exact specifications. That's big with 2K. I think that's my best experience overall.
I think the man kills himself to keep that up. You know what I mean? To keep up with the crew, to keep up with what the people, what the crew wants, talking with the crew. He listens to them. I mean, without a doubt, you've seen it through the 2K crew page. He listens to the people. He asks the questions, and he's open to everybody's input, I guess.
Well, I think that's very true. You can see, you know, I'm actually friends with him on Facebook, and you can see from the, you know, he'll put up a status at 1 o'clock in the morning that everybody's sleeping, he's still tying jigs. You know, it's just, it's not something you're going to see every day. I think he's the main reason that Custom Kicker is not going to be just another jig company. It's why the company's grown to what it is and why it's growing daily. Is they just, I don't think he sleeps. You know, I don't think they stop, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah, with the orders they got coming in, with the orders that I know, I've seen several guys on the crew posting their orders up and how many they order. And like you said, you've got boxes full, and I know I order quite a bit from him. And then he has all his stores, adding more stores. I believe they got the Field and Stream stores now, and just, it's incredible what he's been able to do with a smaller jig company, one man. His family backing him and starting to grow. It's actually a pretty good story.
It really is. It's something you're not going to see, and that's what shocked me most about that. And I really don't think it's going to change. It doesn't matter if Custom Kicker takes off tomorrow and goes to every big name store in the world. I don't think you're going to see the quality decline, because it's like you said, it's only gotten better. You know, you just, it's more variety, and of course, you know, the deposit swim jig just came out. It keeps growing, it keeps getting better, and you know, I don't see it stopping. I think this company's just taking off just for that reason.
I'm going to have to agree with you. The quality on these jigs is bar none, probably the best, one of the best, if not the best out there. The way he ties, I don't know about you, but like when I get my jigs, I'll pick through them, and I'm looking at how they were tied, making sure each one, the coil is wrapped on top of each other, not around each other. The inner skirts are where they're supposed to be. The hook's like it's the brush guard. And like you said, I don't think I've had a bad one from him yet. And I've ordered a few myself.
No, I'm out there with you. I've yet to have the slightest problem. And that's, it's really incredible when you think about the amount of jigs coming out of him, really. He's the one making the jigs. It's to not have a single issue with the amount of jigs that we're all ordering. It's really something to look at.
Plus, I like the fact that the product works.
That never hurts.
Exactly.
That never hurts thing.
Let's say a local business tackle shop, somebody local, wants to get more information on the product, or maybe wants to meet you at the ramp so we can see him, or whatever the case is. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes you hear all these good things about a product, and you just want to hold it in your hand one time before you drop $100, $150 on a wealth of them. So, you know, I mean, would you be able to be gotten in touch with? And if you can, how would we do that?
Absolutely, I can. One option, people are welcome to find me on Facebook. It's just JC Adams as the page, and I'll be the big dude holding the fish up. But other than that, I mean, they're happy to email me. You can find my email on my Facebook page, and I try to keep the product with me most of the time, and especially any time I'm around a lake or a tackle shop. I'll have the product with me just for that reason. It's like you said, people, even though that you can hear everything about it, but people want to put their hands on it and they want to see, you know, what's going on. And I know I think people get shocked a lot of the times because I'll have some stranger colors, but that's what I tell them, is that's all custom stuff. You know, I'll have two or three jigs for one lake, two or three jigs for another lake, just certain colors, and it's something to see, but that'd be fine. It's just look me up there, and I'll have the product on me. I'll be happy to tell you about it, tell you my experience, and let you see the product.
Very good. Okay, you just brought something to mind I want to talk, pick your brain about a little bit. Now, you said you've got maybe, you know, two or three jigs of this color for this lake, two or three jigs of this color for this lake. Do you really feel that color makes a big difference on bodies of water? I mean, I understand it does, but to me, it's like, okay, up here in Michigan, I'm going to use this color pretty much on every single lake because I know it works. But if I'm going to go down to, let's say, Georgia or Alabama or Florida, I'm going to want this color. But you're talking about breaking lakes down to different colors. Do you really think that's a key to fishing and catching fish?
You know, I'd love to say no, because it'd save a lot of money. But I really do believe it is. And I've come across that really from nothing that I did except blind luck. It was... We went through some of the electric tournaments and even in the bass boat tournament, and I'd have a guy just tear me up from the back of the boat. My co-angler I fish with is Tyler Cruz, and he actually, it was a summer tournament, and he had a real bright green and red jig on up at a lake called Lake Ackworth. And I mean, he was just tearing me up. And that's, I can't take it from the back of the boat, you know? And
right.
That jig just, for some reason, it made a difference. And, you know, I actually called Dan. That was some of the jigs that I actually had custom ordered, and I got him to put a lot of red in it for me, and, you know, just some red and black rubber strands. And we went up the next year to the lake, and we're about 2 hours from it. And I had that jig tied on. It was the same water condition, same clarity. It made all the difference in the world. I mean, you could throw a green pumpkin, you could throw a June buzz, and you just weren't going to get bit. You had to have that red accent and a lot of red in the jig. And you know, I think it does make a difference from lake to lake.
That's interesting. Very interesting thought. Okay, well, that wraps the questions up. Anything we may have missed you want to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you something. What's your take on the Toho incident just took place?
Here's my take. Number one, you do not, under any circumstances, board another man's boat. You sit there at arm's length and yell at each other all you want. After the weigh-in, you go have a beer and yell at each other if you want, but you do not board another man's boat. I wasn't there. They didn't release, and here's what I kind of got upset about, is they released the penalties, but they didn't release how they got to those penalties. So we don't know exactly what they settled on and what exactly happened, because when you listen to Poche's side, you get one story. You listen to Ish's side and his co-anglers, you get a little bit of a different story. I think the bottom line is this. He shouldn't have came in all hot like he was on the boat to the locks. And Ish should not have boarded another man's boat.
I see what you're saying there. I've been reading some of the pro reactions and some of the different statements I've read, and just kind of feeling around, see what everybody's take on it is. That's, you know, custom kicker is one of those things with trying to represent a company, and you know, just they've given me the chance, and that was a big thing I was saying. Is seems like those guys being elite anglers, having the sponsors they have that pay a good bit of their way, would have thought that through a little more. But I was just going to say what's the total of all.
Well, I think it's going to hurt them sponsorship-wise. And, you know, I can't speak for Dan and I can't speak for 2K, but I think even, you know, just the 2K crew, I think if any one of us pulled something like that, I don't think Dan would have us on the crew anymore. I can't speak for him, but and I'll ask him that in his interview. But I think the biggest thing is you do not board another man's boat. You just don't do that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a good point there. I think that's a big thing. You know, even if you're representing a company or not, that's definitely not the way to handle that situation.
All right, JC, we appreciate the time this evening. Yeah, taking the time out of your schedule. Now, you guys still fishing down there? You got tournaments going? Yeah, you still fishing?
We are. I've actually been going all winter pretty strong, and we've had a few just small tournaments here and there, but our season starts off next Sunday. So that's where everybody's kind of gearing up and seeing if we can't get another good year going, see what happens.
Nice. We're still covered with ice. We got nothing going. Yeah, it's cold up here.
I don't envy that. I tell you, I don't like these Georgia summers, but it sure is nice come winter. We can still get out there and try to catch a few.
Yeah, we got to pay. We got to, like, I just went down to Alabama, and I'm thinking about going to Florida, and then I really want to go over to California probably next year during the winter. That's what we got to do up here. We got to look around for places we can go hide to for a week or two.
Well, I tell you what, I actually check the weather before you go. We went up to the St. John's and pre-fished this year and got up there to Florida, and I packed shorts and tank tops, and it was about 29:30 in the morning and 54 high, so I felt like I got tipped on that trip this winter. But
Now, see, I would have taken that.
I know what you're saying, though.
But, see, I would have, what you had, like, we're, like, 10 degrees right now, and I think we made it to a balmy 19 today. I'll take a 30 and a 55 all day long. I mean, I'll wear flip-flops in 30-degree weather. I'm good with that.
I guess that sounds pretty good to you there, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, it does. All right, my friend, we thank you very much for the time. We're going to get out of here because I think I am going to, I'm either going to Ohio or Texas on the next show. So with that, we're going to close the show out. And again, thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you all for having me. I really do appreciate it.
The 2K Way is proudly brought to you by Custom Kicker Jigs, Brandy Rocks Productions, and the 2K Crew. Visit www.customkickerjigs.com and see why they are on the path to becoming the number one jig in the country. Simply Custom Kicker Jigs. When an ounce counts.